This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Here is Bill Belichick after the loss yesterday, benching his quarterback.
Bill, what went into the decision to sit down Mac there in the later stages of the game? Does he still your quarterback going forward?
Yeah, there was a lot of problems. That certainly wasn't all him.
Yeah. There's a lot of problems. Like, yeah, he's still my quarterback, or yeah, there's a lot of problems, or is it both? Here is Mac Jones on being benched yesterday.
Mac, with the results being what they are, and you finished two straight weeks ending the game on the bench, do you start to feel like you're playing to keep your job?
Like I said earlier, just trying to do better as an offense. You know, we didn't score any points, so that's the important part, scoring points and executing your job, and I try to just execute my job.
Okay. I wouldn't use the word execute because that could take on another meaning. I think it was John McKay. Was he Tampa Bay's head coach?
Yeah.
And he was asked about, how did you think about your team's, what do you think about your team's execution? He goes, I'm all for it. Yeah, had some problems back then when he was coaching. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, you're talking about Mac Jones and how young quarterbacks should be more careful. That's the one thing he doesn't have, it feels like. He was really efficient his first year in the pros. Yeah. It feels like he's a gunslinger without the ability. Maybe that's the right phrase, because it feels like when he tries to make those plays, they always go bad.
Well, you can be a gunslinger of sorts at Alabama, but he has no weapons. Like, he has no bullets. He's got a gun, but that's it. He's not scaring anybody. And with Bill, I mean, it feels helpless in New England. It really does. If you said I could be a Patriot fan now or a Bears fan, I'd rather be a Bears fan because at least I have a couple of picks coming up. And I might have Caleb Williams and maybe Marvin Harrison. I mean, Arizona feels a little more hopeful than New England. Yes, Eden.
What are we doing, Dan?
Wait, are you being Belichick here?
What are you doing?
Would you rather be a Patriots fan moving forward for the next 3 years or an Arizona Cardinal fan or a Chicago Bear fan?
I would, of those three choices, yes. I would take the Patriots 35,000 times out of 35,000.
Okay. Todd, would you rather be a Patriots fan, a Bears fan, or a Cardinal fan for the next 3 years?
I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. Marvin?
Oh, Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Because at 39, you know what I've seen? 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but the next 3 years.
Oh, I'll be okay.
You don't get a scrapbook here.
You don't?
No.
So the idea is, in the next 3 years, the Bears and the Cardinals are going to figure it out. That's what you're saying.
No, but I'm also saying the Patriots aren't going to figure it out either.
I would put my faith in Bill Belichick than in the Patriots than I would in anybody else.
Okay.
I mean, both of those teams are turning over their front of office over and over and over again.
Yep, and they're going to get it right.
This time, in the next 3 years, they got it. They figured it out.
Maybe the Bears bring in Bill Belichick. Fritzy, let me know when Tom Kern's going to join us.
I will.
Okay. A couple of phone calls in here. Best and worst of the weekend. By the way, are we settling on a poll question, Seton?
I've already settled on 2, Dan.
Okay.
I have.
All right.
Which head coach had the worst loss this weekend? Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Mario Cristobal, Marcus Freeman. And then I also put up there.
Would put in Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you could. This poll on Twitter works better with 4 than with 5, though. So
okay,
yeah,
win for McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, that whole pissing off Dak Prescott thing backfired a bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
You don't piss me off heading into this week, we can. That didn't work out. Maybe he should play happy.
All right. Not all of that was on him.
No,
The defense was non-existent.
It's tough when you look back, though, and the game was basically over anyway, but you have 3 interceptions on essentially 3 straight throws.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Jeepers, creepers.
And George Kittle was awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, Paul.
You know, I'm a big RCI guy, receiver caused interceptions. Dak had a bunch of those last year.
Two of those last night.
Yeah, it felt that way. There was one, do you see that Wilson for the, for the Jets? He had that pick late. And it felt like it was on his receiver more than him. So RCI's got to come back.
Well, it never was there to begin with. We're trying to bring RCI into the mainstream. You know, receiver caused interception. Tom Curran sent a tweet out, and I chuckled. The worst loss of Bill Belichick's coaching career has been followed by the second worst loss of his coaching career, which may actually be worse than the worst loss because it was immediately after the worst loss. Let's go to Tom Curran, the Patriots insider, NBC Sports Boston. Hey, how's your day, Tom?
You follow on that whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Day's good. Nobody wants to engage in what amounts to a coaching death watch for a legend. And, you know, you wake up today. Honestly, Dan, you wake up over your career in sports and say, holy crap, I can't believe that happened overnight. And I'm waking up this morning saying, please don't. Don't let me see Bill Belichick relieved of his duties. It's that bad, man.
Well, they wouldn't let him go during the season. Robert Kraft would never do that.
Yeah, I think that the chances of that are infinitesimally small, but covering this team as long as I have and the number of bizarro stories and things that I've woken up to or learned in the middle of the day while driving a kid to Little League practice or found out on my own, there's nothing that's beyond the realm. And what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, and really the last 5 years, going back to the midpoint of 2019, 4 years, is jarring enough to say everything's on the table.
Are they hopeless?
Yeah, they are.
Well,
And I'm a guy who said they could win 10 games. I went into the season thinking this could be a 10-win team just on the logic that, well, they were a 10-win team in 2021. You brought Bill O'Brien back. He's going to wave the magic wand. He's going to be the enema for the entire offense. They're going to return to being what they were in large part. And the defense is better. So even if it's a more difficult schedule, they can get there. And I swear to God, Dan, I believed it after the first 2 weeks because I said all they have to do is stop throwing picks and having penalties. They outplayed Philadelphia. They were right there with Miami. All they got to do is go into Dallas and win 31-23, I said. 31-23, I said.
If anybody else was coaching that team, would you have had the same kind of, let's say Bill O'Brien was coaching, not Bill Belichick, Would you have the same kind of optimism? It feels like your optimism is just based on trusting Belichick.
Yeah, it is. It is completely because we've seen a team that was situationally smart, incredibly well-disciplined, well-coached, and always the whole was greater than the sum of its parts for two decades. And they didn't beat themselves. They were a league leader in fewest penalties. They would have no clock management issues, few times that they would have any kind of situational meltdowns. Yet what we've seen since really the midpoint of last year is, you know, the Las Vegas thing, which was beyond the realm of all possibility, throwing it backwards behind your head. And the next guy who catches it actually throws it even further backwards to the quarterback who gets stiff-armed into Hades. And they follow that up by falling behind in the very next week, 22-0 against Cincinnati at home by halftime on Christmas Eve. And then they finish the season allowing two kickoff return touchdowns to Buffalo. So I said, just stop being stupid and you'll win games. And I believe that through the first 2 weeks. Just stop being stupid. Play like a Bill Belichick team. But I think it's now into their DNA. And I think that last year they were so poorly coached that they remain poorly coached. Bill is still there. But the players don't execute in a way that you'd say that was a smart play.
Yeah, and you don't think of Patriot players quitting. And it feels like that watching yesterday, that maybe maximum effort didn't last long. If you knew Belichick was going to answer a question, honestly, what would be the question you would ask today?
How much of this is based on the roster decisions you've made for the last 5 years, whether it's, you know, whether, and the Brady thing, honestly, while we can all look at that as a watershed moment, it had gone completely beyond the pale. The dysfunction was there. He had done such a poor job building the team around Brady at that point that you're basically just keeping him as a figurehead. And I get why he had to move on. But whether it be no succession plan for Tom, no succession plan for McDaniels, signings of Nelson Agholor and Jonnu Smith. I mean, how much blame do you accept for being unable to evaluate talent and look at the players who are sitting right in front of you and say, yeah, he's not good. I like Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't like Jacoby Myers. Like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. How did he get so bad at being able to tell a good player?
Talking to Tom Curran, he covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston. Is Mac Jones going to be the starter next year?
Next year. Boy, Dan, these ones don't get any easier. Yeah, he'll be the starter next year just because he's cost effective. He's on the final year of his rookie contract and in for a dime, in for a dollar. They're probably not going to get high enough to take a rookie quarterback. And if they do get high enough to take a rookie quarterback, do him the solid of letting him learn behind Mac, even though Mac's probably going to pout around the place the whole summer. Just do him that solid because you want to ring. And that's what's, again, egregious. If you're Robert Kraft, you're sitting there looking.
He's on a rookie contract. What are we doing?
So you look at the amount of.
Wait, that's your Robert Kraft impersonation?
Yes, it is. I don't know what the hell's going on. You look at the situation. And we had the greatest quarterback of all time, and we just let him go.
Got a touch of Seinfeld in there.
I mean, terribly. I'll hone it.
Yeah. Well, you got the fifth pick in the draft right now.
Anything can happen, Dan. Honestly, if you were Bill Belichick, would you wake up this morning and say, I think it's time for me to wrap it up? Or would you say, I am chasing Shula? Would you look at that Don Shula poster on your wall and just say, I'm coming for you, Jaw?
Let me ask you this.
I asked you.
Okay. So what's the question?
The question is, if you were Bill Belichick, would your heart still be in it this morning to chase Don Shula?
It would be out of spite. But, you know, at some point, you know, you can't write hit songs anymore. You know, you see this with an artist. They can't write a song, you know, like, hey, you haven't had a hit in, you know, 5 years. But at some point, I have to look at that person and say, "This Bill, can Bill write another hit song? Can he have another playoff team? He's got his two best defenders who are out. He has really very little on offense. He has a quarterback that probably is not a starting quarterback. So that would be, it would be hard to, you know, drag the ball and chain into work every single day. Yeah, it would be.
He's Tom Jones at this point.
Well, Billy Joel hadn't written a hit in a long time, 30 years. So, but let me ask you this. If I put Brock Purdy on the Patriots and Mac Jones on the 49ers.
You'd be looking at two teams with very similar results to what you're looking at right now. It's a total, I don't know if Purdy would be pouring gasoline on the fire in the same fashion that Mac is, but record-wise, it would be the same. And Mac Jones is so wholly capable of operating when things are good around him that he'd be absolutely fine. You got a stationary quarterback with an average arm whose greatest strength is accuracy and anticipation, and he needs time to execute those things, yet he doesn't know what he's going to be looking at 1.1 seconds after the snap. So you've made him, you compounded the error by the players you've put around him, whether it be an offensive line, which has just really been a disgrace, or at the receiver positions where you haven't been able to pick players who are impact players.
This is the first time, I think, in the history of our show we've talked to Hopeless Tom.
Hopeless Tom.
Hopeless Tom.
Hopeless Tom coming at you. Yeah. It's a Monday.
Yeah. You had a good run, though. I mean, you had a good, you know.
Yeah, I probably won't be talking to you for a while, huh?
Around the draft, Belichick.
Nobody needs this. Nobody needs this on a Monday morning. It's all hopeless.
Yeah, but
what's not going to get any better? Why do you want to get out of bed in the morning, Bill?
What are you going to ask him? What question are you going to ask him Wednesday?
Probably some pablum. I mean, what am I going to get? Two snorts, a shrug, and a. It's diminishing returns at this point.
That should be the name of your book on Belichick. Two snorts and a shrug. Yes. The Belichick story. All right.
Sorry about this, though. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you're down there in Nutmeg, Connecticut, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're inside the. I mean, if you're Robert Kraft and you're looking at the place just clear out on a Sunday after a 38-3 loss the week before, and then you come home and lose 34-0 in front of the fans who are well aware that Robert said this is no more of the not winning games. And you have to watch.
You just did Marlon Brando there. You got to work on that.
Really?
Yeah, you got to work on that. If you're going to take it nationally, you got to work on that.
I just did take it nationally, didn't I? It's a national program, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, like a well-listened-to national show. You know.
Oh?
No, we are.
Yeah. You're like Tom Jones, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Brady.
All right.
Hey, great to talk to you. Keep your morale up.
See you at the retirement party.
All righty. Thank you, Tom.
That's bye.
Tom Curran. Is it my retirement or is it Bill Belichick's retirement? Or both? Who retires sooner? I'm going to say Belichick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Packers at the Raiders coming up tonight. Raiders favored by how many? 2.5? 3? Yeah, Paulie.
Raiders are given 2 points.
Okay. All right. I was leaning towards 2.5 there. By the way, odds to win the Heisman. Anybody want to take a guess this morning? Odds to win the Heisman, according to DraftKings. Todd?
I still believe Caleb is in the lead over Shador.
All right. Caleb is second. Marvin?
Michael Penix Jr.?
Bloop, bloop, nice. Bloop. Yeah, Washington's Michael Penix Jr. the third. Then it's Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, and then Jordan Travis. Kind of interesting there.
Overrated, that Penix kid.
Thank you, Todd. Brady Quinn, former Notre Dame quarterback, Fox College football analyst, Big Noon kickoff, also does Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. He's a busy man. And Brady and the crew in Columbus on Saturday, Maryland, Ohio State at the Horseshoe. Got interesting there in the first half, and then Ohio State blew out the Terps. Brady joining us via the phone. Where do you want to start with college football this weekend?
I mean, I guess we can start with a lot of the upsets. It was one of those weekends where I think we had a number of matchups where it was kind of a prove it, you know, prove it your record. Maryland, for example, was 5-0, taking on obviously an undefeated Ohio State team. And, you know, I think as you pointed out, they put up a good fight for the first half, and then Ohio State really took control in the second half. And you could probably talk about a number of matchups, Oklahoma and Texas, same thing. I mean, I didn't see Oklahoma really taking control of that game the way they did, and Dylan Gabriel kind of coming away as the Heisman favorite based on what we saw so far this year. You know, Quinn Ewers and Texas have been much more tested, you know, given their big win over Bama, had a really huge win over Kansas, which was a top 25 team at the time. Oklahoma played a much softer schedule, but boy, were they up for the moment. And you mentioned Dylan Gabriel's Heisman favorite. He's got to be right up there next to the Caleb Williams of the world and the Michael Penix right now with the way he's played so far.
You know, Caleb Williams is going to continue to put up big numbers, Brady, because he has to, because the defense is so bad. It's not like you can take him out of a game or change your game plan. They have to put their foot on the accelerator the rest of the season.
Yeah, and that's been the case the past, you know, really 2 years. If you go back to last year, I mean, this defense hit the transfer portal hard. I want to say they had 5 or 6 starters on their 2D that basically came via the transfer portal. Mm. And, you know, one, that's going to take some time for those guys to gel and adjust. But the tackling is the biggest thing that stands out. where that was a huge issue for them last year, even though they were decimated at times with injuries and they were thin as it was. But now this year, they're supposed to be better. They're supposed to be more talented. They played a soft schedule coming into this past week. And, you know, you figure they should be able to control more games, and they're just not able to. They have to win in a shootout every single week. And that's a lot of pressure, especially when you're talking about the Pac-12 that probably has the most parity of any conference in its final year as we know it. And, you know, eventually that's going to catch up to USC. It caught up to them last year. They couldn't get past Utah. And obviously this week they take on my Fighting Irish, which have issues of their own. But when you look at the schedule that USC has ahead, including Notre Dame and having to go through, you know, a team like Utah, who knows if Cam Rising's back or not, but Washington out there as well and Oregon. I mean, it is a gauntlet, a brutal schedule that they've got to play, and their defense has to find a quick turnaround or has to find some answers fast.
I don't know if you remember this conversation we had in Dublin, Ireland, and you said to me, Duke and Louisville, that concerns you about Notre Dame. And you wouldn't be surprised if they lost to one of those two. They barely squeaked by Duke. They ended up losing to Louisville. Also throw in the trap game with USC in the on-deck circle. So assess Notre Dame now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing we didn't know is, you know, how many of these games would be in prime time. You know, you knew Ohio State, you knew USC, and then you saw Duke and Louisville get flexed into it. And for people out there who are probably going to say, hey, this is making an excuse, it's not an excuse. I mean, I experienced it. You know, Notre Dame hasn't won back-to-back weeks on the road versus two top 25 opponents since I was there. So I understand the difficulty of the schedule and navigating it and how hard it can be when you're talking about week after week after week being in tough, tough, tight games, physical games, and then have to do it in primetime and then turning around, getting back late at night and having to deal with everything else to get back up the next week. I mean, to me, watching them, they look tired. I don't want to take anything away from what Jeff Rom and his staff did and the players did, because by far and away, Louisville dominated that game. You know, I give them a ton of credit. Ron English, their defensive coordinator, is one of the better defensive minds, in my opinion, in college football. I don't know that he gets enough praise for the job he does week in and week out. But Louisville just really took it to him. And look, there's a lot of things that I think were going on up front for Notre Dame. The offensive line was rotating some of the guys up front. That's always going to be tough in a really loud, tough environment to be able to have those guys, you know, kind of figure some things out if they're all kind of struggling and you're rotating some of those pieces. I think there's some questionable decisions, too, that were made throughout the course of the game. And the downfield passing that Notre Dame was so effective with early in the season clearly has gone to the wayside in the past few weeks. And when you can't create some of those big plays like Louisville did, especially with Jordan at running back and how explosive he was, you're obviously going to have a hard time, you know, being able to show up in some of those big moments. So, you know, right now you can't feel sorry for yourself. You got to move on. You got a really good USC team coming in town. And that's the tough thing is if you're this Notre Dame team right now, you've got to be resilient. You have to have a bunch of leaders, and in particular, Sam Hartman, who's the elder statesman in the locker room. He's got to rally these guys and make sure they understand there's a lot of football left to be played. They can't feel sorry for themselves just because of their performance this past Saturday.
Talking to Brady Quinn, former Notre Dame quarterback, now working for Fox, their college football analyst. Explain to me what happened in the Miami-Georgia Tech game. How do you come up with that coaching decision?
Well, I can give you an answer. It's not one that I necessarily subscribe to, but you know, you've got a player who's on the cusp of running for 100 yards. And in the back of your mind, when you're a play caller, you're sitting there saying to him, hey, let's give Chaney the ball. Let's get him over 100 yards today. You're not thinking about the negative consequences or losing that instance, right? Like that almost never happens. And so at 99 yards, he gets the football, he runs for four, he breaks, he gets over it. And of course he fumbles. So then you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, they don't have any timeouts and they haven't done much. I mean, is Haynes King really going to drive them down the field for a, you know, touchdown to go win this thing? And of course, then that happens. So look, the justification for why you hand the football off and actually run a play, it's never going to matter to people. That's most likely the explanation behind it. And I think that's the tough part is for Miami, for this team, like those are the sorts of decisions that when you really boil it down, more teams lose games than win games. And this was an example of that in Miami. Instead of putting themselves in a position where they can move on, get the win, it was a tough game, and have a shot at, you know, playing for the ACC and all that. I mean, they got to play UNC this week. It's a tough matchup. You know, now they put themselves where there's no room for error the rest of the season. And that was just because of one lack of oversight from Mario Cristobal or lack of thinking about the downside risk that you're going to be facing?
Yeah, it was the first thing I wondered when they were running is that running back close to 100 yards? And then now he hasn't said that was the reason why they did it. Probably, you know, he's trying to move on. You know, he said, oh, I tell him to keep two hands on the ball. You don't have to keep two hands on the ball if you take a knee, coach. But it felt like the dog ate my homework there. I want to get your opinion on Brock Purdy. That how does this happen? You play at Iowa State, you're Mr. Irrelevant, and now you're an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a number of things. I mean, it happens from his experience, his maturity, you know, kind of the moxie he carries himself with. I mean, he's played a lot of football. And so when he gets the opportunity, he's ready from kind of at least a college experience as far as knowing what he is, who he is, and being confident in his abilities. And then you put him into a position where he plays in a system that is as quarterback friendly as anyone. And that's not saying, and I've heard this narrative a lot, oh, he's a system quarterback. I never really understand why people look at that as a negative. Like, I would love to have been called a system quarterback in the NFL. That means you've probably played in a great system, won a lot of games, put up a lot of numbers, had a lot of success.
Yeah.
You know, usually that comes with that system quarterback tag. But he isn't a great system. Like, Kyle Shanahan is one of the best, if not the best, offensive mind. You look at the coaching tree from Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and how it's impacted the NFL and the offenses right now that are successful. So he's with a great play caller. He's surrounded by a ton of talent. I mean, so many different players that can do different things, whether it's, you know, Debo or George Kittle or Christian McCaffrey or, you know, Brandon Ayuk, who's really kind of blossomed all this, Juszczyk at fullback. I mean, they do a bunch of different things, and it puts so much stress on defenses. But the thing that, like, I'm most impressed with for a guy who's got, what, like 10-0 in his first 10 starts is how well he navigates the pocket and still keeps his eyes downfield and then find those second, third windows for guys. And that's hard to do for veteran quarterbacks, let alone a guy who's played this few games. So, look, he it's justified. He should be in the MVP conversation because that alone has been elite this year as far as his ability to still continue to make throws under duress, outside the pocket, but get him to the right guy in the right spot at the right time. And it can't be understated the impact he's obviously had on this team.
Would you rather have Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy?
What team are they playing for?
Well, how about I start a franchise?
I mean, it's tough to not look at the body of work of what Dak has been able to do. I mean, I don't want to sound like a flavor of the week guy. Well, I'd rather start with Brock Purdy. But if you put Brock Purdy on a different team, like, I don't know that we're talking about the same success.
So if Brock Purdy is on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't know that you're seeing the same type of success they've had with the 49ers.
Okay.
I'm a Dak fan. I'm someone who's continually tried to, you know, praise him for the job that he's done in handling all of that. I mean, they've obviously had issues on the offensive line. We saw that again resurface last night. There's a lot of tough things, I think, as far as, you know, being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of things you have to deal with. But I think Dak has handled tremendously well. So, I would still lean towards Dak. It's not a knock to Brock. It's just, I think you put Dak Prescott on the 49ers, he's probably having a lot of success too.
Yeah, I've mentioned this quite a few times, and that is where you're drafted, who's drafting you, what kind of talent. Mac Jones, to me, if Mac Jones was on the Niners, we would probably be praising Mac Jones. Fair enough to say?
Yeah, I mean, look, how many quarterbacks have started for Kyle Shanahan and not excelled? I mean, I think Trey Lance is the only one that had struggled, and granted, what did he get, 4 starts in his career there, which is probably unfair to view him off a small sample size. But most quarterbacks who've been able to play for Kyle Shanahan have had success. It's one of the reasons why I call him one of, if not the best, offensive mind in the NFL, because he maximizes the ability and the talents of every single quarterback that plays in his system.
Are you guys on the road this weekend?
We are. We're in a very familiar place to me, somewhat familiar to some other folks on our Big Noon crew. We'll be in South Bend, Indiana.
Nice. Nice. What kind of welcome do you get when you walk in?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, man. Go Irish. What if this was at USC?
You know, the four-letter words and everything else. And, you know, I would just ask them if their parents paid for them to get into school or did some elaborate cheating scheme to get them there, that sort of thing. Man. I mean, how much does the degree cost there is really what I usually end up saying. So,
wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Little degree smack talk there, a little entrance.
There's no love lost. There's no love lost, you know, between Notre Dame and USC. So
you earned your scholarship at Notre Dame.
I'll put it this way. I went to all my classes. I did not excel at all my classes, but I worked hard. I got my degree in finance, and my second major is political science, and I really valued that. I can't say the same for everyone else, you know, out there in the college football world at these other schools.
Are you talking about Leinart in particular?
I did not say that. I mean, I do know this. I do know he took ballroom dancing, and I'm pretty sure that's not offered at Notre Dame. I'm almost positive.
Did he get an A in ballroom dancing is what I want to know.
I mean, based on the dance moves that I've seen in our free time, I would have to think yes. All right? That man can dance.
Oh!
He's got very nimble feet. You wouldn't think that because how tall he is.
Yeah.
Very nimble feet. He glides across the dance floor.
Wow.
A la kind of, remember Wayne's World where Michael Myers kind of glides? I think there was her name, Cassandra.
Yeah.
Kind of glides to her. It's almost like that.
Safe travels there, and good to talk to you again. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you. Always good being on.
That's Brady Quinn. Some may refer to him as Beefo Brady, but it'll be the Big Noon kickoff. It'll be Notre Dame and USC. Yes, Paul?
Did you guys ever have one of those classes in college where it's like a mid-semester class or a class that was, you know, that was just you had to show up and it was a kind of an activity?
No.
Nothing like a
no.
Ballroom dancing? Or
No.
We had a music history class where they just played music and then we discussed like that's actually pretty cool, like the words and the lyrics and stuff like that. But everyone got an A.
I think that there's maybe NYU has a class on Taylor Swift. I think that's part of a curriculum at some universities. We didn't have anything like that, University of Dayton. I mean, at least the classes that I went to. I didn't go to all of them. Yeah, Marv.
We took a class on Spike Lee movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but that wasn't an easy course because there's so much underlying messages with Spike Lee movies.
Yeah.
Look, a guy did about a 3-page paper dissecting the name Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yeah.
The paper was on Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Like the movie he got gained, but he spent like a good 3 pages on what it meant.
Okay.
It was deep. And I was like, oh, I'll take Spike Lee. And they were like, oh, this isn't what you think it is.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those classes where you go, oh, take that, easy A, or maybe I should have studied the syllabus a little bit more. Yes, I see.
I don't have a very long college career to speak about, but my only example in this is that my second semester of my freshman year, which could also just be known as my second semester, I allowed my roommate to talk me, and he was just like, dude, take this history class with me, because I was going to be a history major at the time. Mm-hmm. He was like, take this history class with me. It was like this medieval history class. He's like, bro, it's going to be all like dragons and magic and stuff. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, yeah, dude, that sounds sick. Like, let's go do that class. And we get in there, and the very first day, I realize that it's all about like feudalism and like the political and socioeconomic dynamics of, you know, modern life then. And it was at that point that it dawned on me that dragons and magic weren't real. So how would they have a history class on it? And that was a terrible mistake.
Anywho, look at you now. You didn't need that. You don't need no education.
Yeah, who needs
no
that?
We don't need no education.
I listened to a lot of Pink Floyd at the time, believe it or not.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Michelin tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Michelin test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Dayton, would you update the poll results? Then we'll get to the Hall of Fame coach, Bill Cowher.
I sure will, Dan.
Okay.
Right now, we've got a bunch of poll questions working, actually, as a matter of fact. But if we go with the new ones, how much are you enjoying the Patriots' struggles? A little, a ton, having the time of my life. Right now,
wow.
It's 100% having the time of my life. That's a tough result right there. And then who do you like seeing lose more, the Patriots or the Cowboys? This one's a little more balanced. It's 57% Cowboys. Very negative two poll questions.
All right. You can catch Coach Cowher, the rest of the NFL Today crew, Sundays at noon Eastern on CBS and Paramount. Good to see you again, Coach. Let me start with this. Do you enjoy seeing the Patriots lose more or the Cowboys losing more?
I see the theme of the Monday morning. There were some great wins yesterday. Let's not talk about those. Let's go right into Misery Monday.
Yes, yes. So do you care?
No, you know, in a weird way, Dan, I've kind of been there. I think when I look at the Cowboys, you know, it was San Francisco's a very good team. They couldn't get on track early, got behind early. And when you become one-dimensional against that defense, it's going to be a long night. And I think that they can get things worked out. I look at New England, to be quite honest with you. I don't know where you go for answers, yeah, to be quite frank. I mean, you look at the offensive side of the ball, name me a playmaker. The quarterback is struggling. Offensive line is not creating any running holes. Defensively, you just lost your two best players in Gonzalez and Judon. You know, it's a big, big challenge right now for Bill. You're coming off two very, very tough losses. To be critical of your team right now, you could lose them. There's a very fragile confidence, I think, in that building. Probably a place where Bill has not been before. But, so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Can you watch a game as a fan, or do you have to watch it through the lens of being a former coach?
I always looked at it as a former coach. I get mind blown today by some of these decisions in terms of analytics. I mean, I watched yesterday. John Harbaugh is a good friend of mine, a good coach. In a game where points are going to be minimal, in the very first quarter, he's got a chance to go up 13-0. Instead, he goes for it on fourth and one. And those 3 points we're looking at in the rest of the day. And so I see it all the time. I mean, what's wrong with taking points? You work too hard to get down there. And I don't want to hear about analytics because they tell you about your odds. They don't tell you about what happens if you don't make it. When you stare at those things and you're staring you in the face the rest of the game. So I watch it really as a coach, to be honest with you. And I look at it and just seeing the in-game tweaks that every coach has to make and willing to make. And how do you slow down a Miami offense that, you know, that looks like they're playing faster than everybody else? We watched a little of that blueprint with Buffalo, and then you feel for Buffalo. They come off one of the biggest wins of the year, and they go over there and lose maybe their best defensive player in Milano. They just lost Tre'Davious White. Sean McDermott will figure this out, but that's a big blow for Buffalo Bills.
How often would you send a play in and the quarterback would change it, even though you didn't want, like, they would defy you? How often do you think that happened in your career?
I don't know. I didn't call the plays, but I know when I would go to the coordinator to call the plays, I think sometimes I realized the back thing, the one I got, and I realized it was actually, it was a maneuver. They said they couldn't hear. It's like going they would say their helmet was out. They're tapping their ears, and I'm going like, okay, is that true or not? Are you hearing me, or is it selective hearing? So, you know, sometimes, you know, but a lot of the plays we had, you give options to the quarterback. And I think the biggest thing you do to me, Dan, is the quarterback earns the right to have more input, right? So I think they earn your trust, and then they get to learn to trust you. So I think when you go into a game plans, you're going against certain things. You can flip a running play from one side to another based on what you're seeing the front being. You can also see a front that takes you out of a running play to a passing play. So those things are always going to be there as part of what you give a quarterback in terms of game plan. But then sometimes a quarterback thinks he knows more, and then he just hits his helmet. I got this.
Roethlisberger would do that?
Yes, I found that after the fact, because I kept thinking, man, we're having problems with our communication. They're going, coach, there's no problem. I can hear everything in his helmet. I go, oh, okay, let me look at the second alternative here. Maybe it was selective hearing.
I wonder if with a quarterback of Ben's size, would you be using that the brotherly shove that Philadelphia is using?
Well, he'd have to feel comfortable doing it, right? I mean, I think it's so funny when you watch and you think about a quarterback sneak. We think about Tom Brady, who did it so well for so many years. He takes it and he goes down low and it kind of hits his head down. And you watch Jalen, he's got this, you know, at number one, I don't know if any centers can get as low as Kelce. Kelce's already a small guy. And he gets low, really low. And it's almost like Jalen's just riding the wave. It's like he's right on top of it. You don't see him go down. He's riding the wave of the back. So it's interesting to see the techniques involved. I don't like the play personally. I think it's a rugby play. It's a scrum. I think it's just bad for football. There's nothing strategical about it. But until we find ways of losing, of stopping it, until we find ways of people not getting hurt, I know the Giants tried it a week ago, and two guys got hurt. So I think until it becomes a safety issue, you know, they're going to keep doing it. I don't like to play personally. I just don't, you know, but you have to stop it. It's been very, very effective.
Talking to Bill Cowher, the Hall of Famer, NFL Today on CBS analyst. Dion said, why don't we have sort of a penthouse with the Hall of Fame? And I propose if you have first ballot Hall of Fame, then can you do a special floor for the first ballot Hall of Famers? You know, Joe Montana, whoever it might be, Dion. Do you have any problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, I think when you go to that luncheon, I've gone now for, you know, for two straight years. You sit in there, and I met this past year, I met Dick Butkus for the first time, my lifetime idol. I think we all recognize who there were some quality players and coaches in there. That, you know, what they did was probably more than what you did. But yet, I think what you did was warrant of contribution of being recognized as one of the best at what you did. You know, to sit there and who's to measure what that criteria is to put you into that other element of it. So I understand it. You know, I didn't go in as a first ballot. Maybe there's circumstances that don't put you in there for the first ballot. And there was a lot of media involved with it. I wasn't one of the most cordial guys at press conferences at times, you know, and so at the same time, I feel very proud of the record that I had, and I will match it with, you know, a lot of the people that are in there. So You know, and listen, we all recognize Deion Sanders. First bout, I think we all know the first bout, and you all know the players that are in there. But I think once you get in there, to sit there and say there's a first class and second class, I think it'll be a disservice to the honor.
But isn't there a seating chart, though, somewhere, Coach, that might, you know, do Hall of Fame events, do they have, you know, Montana's up front and LT's up front?
Well, I think they do it more by whoever can walk better than who can sit. A lot of times you go there, Dan. There's a lot. If you can stand, you're in the back. If you need to sit, you go in the front. So it's more by your health status than anything else.
How does every team pass on Brock Purdy seven times? But he's going to be and should be an MVP candidate this year.
No question about it. I know I wrote about it a year ago when we came in. It's so ironic because it had me thinking about Tom Brady, right? Sixth round, this guy's seventh round. And you walk into a team and you sit behind a starting quarterback. It takes a starting quarterback to get hurt to get your chance, just like it took. You know, you sit there.
Brady.
Brady comes in and Bledsoe gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Jimmy G. And all of a sudden Purdy comes in. And, you know, he walked into a great situation, and I think he just fits the system perfectly. He walked into a very good defense. He walked into a Kyle Shanahan offense that's very quarterback friendly. He's very, very good at processing information. That's the thing I would take away from Kyle's offense. Yes, it's run oriented. There's a lot of motion and probably a lot of dialogue goes on, a lot of moving pieces. So you have to be able to process a lot of information very quickly. And I think that's the one thing you hear people constantly talk about with Brock Purdy is his ability to go from one read to two to three. He sees the field. He can process things. And if there was ever a better offense to walk into, it's probably the Kyle Shanahan offense. So, it's always interesting when you see the free agents, the seventh round picks, the sixth round picks. You know, there's certain elements that you can't measure going to the next level. And Brock Purdy has certainly surpassed a lot of the people what they thought they saw and didn't thought his limitations were. They no longer are.
Is there a game that you just can't get out of your head, wakes you up at night?
Probably the 2001 AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots. You know, we knocked Brady out. We brought Bledsoe in. We gave up a punt return for a touchdown because all of a sudden we kicked the ball from the left hash from our own 5-yard line. We had a guy run out of bounds, Troy Edwards. They replayed it, pushed us back. They put the ball in the right hash. My punter, Josh Miller, kind of didn't know what we're supposed to do. Am I supposed to kick it back into the boundary? So I go to the other boundary. I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't even realize they'd moved the hash. He kicked it right down the middle. Deion Branch just took it right back for a touchdown. We go to kick a field goal. It gets blocked for a touchdown. We had more, almost 100 yards more than they did, but yet we lost the game. And that was a very, very good team in 2001. So I look at those championship games and I think about those. You know, certainly the 96 Super Bowl against the Dallas Cowboys. So I think about more the games that ended my season, not the games during the season. Than anything else. And I probably remember the losses more than I remember the wins.
Could you outsmart Brady?
Can you outsmart Brady? No. You got to be patient against Brady. And you got to just try to just – if you can try to create some degree of hesitation into what he thinks you're doing, almost like in a weird way like Peyton was. Peyton and Tom were so cerebral – that you had to play a little bit of a chess game with them. And then you had to take advantage of the opportunities if he ever gave them to you. But if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, if you showed them what you were doing from a defensive standpoint, they knew exactly where to go with the ball. And they were patient enough to take what you gave them. So it's almost like who could be more patient, somehow come up with a third down stop, don't give them the big play, but you better be disguising what you're doing, because if you give them pre-snap information, they're going to beat you and just tear you up.
Would you rather face that quarterback or the guy who athletically is going to extend plays, drive you, whoever that might be, but that guy that you won't have the athleticism to counter?
Yeah, I mean, and Mahomes is that guy now, right? Mahomes is the ultimate guy who can step up and talk about manipulating the pocket. having pocket presence. He loves staying in the pocket. And you're going to get off, you know, off schedule plays. You're going to get his improvisation that he's going to have at times. Those are probably a little bit tougher to go against, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, those you can't control. At least the other things are controllable. I can control what I show and what I play. I can control my disguise part of it. I can be patient and make the play and make the tackle. But these plays that get extended for 6-7 seconds, remember going against Michael Vick, that's the closest guy I could kind of relate to, Michael Vick, is all of a sudden you can't rush as like you used to always rush because you had to make sure that you're very disciplined in your rush lanes. And to tell a rusher to be disciplined is kind of going against, it's almost like an adverse, like, oh, be disciplined, but you want to rush the quarterback? Like that's a contradictory statement. I know, but it kind of, you need to be that way. So, you know, you want Patrick Mahomes to stay in the pocket and beat you, and he can do that. But I'd much rather stay in the pocket and beat me than get out of the pocket and then throw the ball down the field. And then you have the offenses right now. Today's the biggest challenge you have is that Miami offense. The motions, the San Francisco motions, Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, they came from the same system. They like to give you a lot of window dressing, a lot of movement. They get you to kind of take your eyes off where they need to be, and they play very fast. And so there's a lot of speed down in Miami. That's a big challenge. And again, patience has to be a part of that solution and trying to at least slow them down.
I watched that Steeler-Ravens game. Now, granted, it's the best rivalry in football, but that's bad football. And I keep waiting for the Steeler. That Steeler offense, where is it, Coach?
It's a work in progress, Dan.
Oh boy,
it's a work.
You're being politically correct there.
No, but but you know what? And you just keep fueling the fire by everyone sitting there waiting for Mike Tomlin to fire Matt Canada and to sit there and say you can't do this and can't do that. Yes, it's going to have to be more productive. Yes, they're going to have to start taking more shots down the field. And they're going to have to, if they get Deontay Johnson back, maybe you get a guy who can have a little bit of run after catch. But they're playing defense for defense right now. Maybe the best bookend rushers you got right now, Highsmith and T.J. Watt. They're not giving up the big plays. And right now, Kenny Pickett is not turning it over. He's got like two interceptions in the last four games. You know, they blocked punt yesterday. I know they kind of gave it back. And to be quite frank, Baltimore did not play very well. Mm-hmm. He had six drops. They missed a wide open receiver who falls on the turf at Heinz Field. So, you know, as a Heinz Field, the ghost of Heinz Field came out yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens. But, you know, I still like the Baltimore Ravens. And I mean, I think Todd Monken, I think Lamar in that system, where it's more spread out in the weapons that he has, is at some point going to get more and more comfortable. You see signs of it. Yesterday was not one of them. And I think from Pittsburgh's standpoint, it is a long year. It's a work in progress because clearly the offense is going to have to be more productive than it has been right now. And I think getting back to the running game is a little bit of that answer. And I would not just be with Najee Harris. The Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren combination. Jaylen Warren came in and really gave that team a spark. When he came in, he made a couple big plays on third down, a couple big runs. He gives them a little bit of that splash, a little bit of that suddenness that you want to see on that offense because you feel like they're just plodding down. They're plodding on down, the, you know, this, that 12, 13-play drive. You cannot live on that. So they needed Deontay Johnson. They needed Jaylen Warren. You're going to get the George Pickens maybe one-on-one. He'll make the big catch down there, but he's not going to get the great separation. So I think it's still there. And the biggest thing they're doing is they're winning while keeping, you know, winning games ugly. And is it? And that's always going to be a case with the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game.
When's the last time you were in a fight?
A fight? Well, verbally or, I mean, I'm fighting with Boomer and Phil.
No. That, I mean, like a physical.
A physical fight. Well, I would say college. No, I actually had a fight and was in the pros too. It was a practice one time. It was actually the same day. The first time my late wife, I called at lunch and I found out she lost our baby. And I never forget, we went to 9-on-7. I was with the pads on and I just was so mad. And so I just started crying and I just started hitting everything. And they're saying, "What? You know, relax, relax." I go, "Don't, you know," I got in a fight.
Did you eventually tell your teammates and coach what happened?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I'm usually pretty good at controlling my emotions, to be quite honest with you.
Except for the time when you ran off after the first half, weren't you? You had a word for an official.
Well, I those were controlled emotions. I could have done a lot.
I'm sorry. You should be commended for that.
Those were controlled emotions.
I like that. Okay. We just didn't know that.
Yes.
Hey, great to catch up with you as always. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Man, always a pleasure. You're the best. I still got your jacket. You know, you gave me one of those jackets. I came to the Super Bowl the one year.
Yeah.
I still have it. I pull it. I go, here's my black Dan Patrick jacket.
There you go. I'm glad.
I'm giving you props as I walk around.
Thank you, Coach. That's Coach Cower. Who knew that he was showing, you know, restraint there? He looks like a guy you wouldn't want to mess with. Yes, Todd.
That's restraint, stuffing like pictures into the pants of a referee, as he wrote in a...
It's good stuff.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real. Wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.